planetaudio.org.nz. planetaudio.org.nz.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our Friday program. Today we want to explore something which is called the Seven Rays. And we'll be reading extracts from a series of three articles by Benjamin Krem, which featured in the Share International magazine during January, February and March 1983, about the seven rays which govern all life, terrestrial and cosmic. Modern exoteric science has proved the ancient and fundamental esoteric axiom that there is nothing in the whole of the manifested universe but energies in some relationship, each vibrating at a particular frequency. But esoteric science postulates seven such streams of energy or force, whose interaction at every conceivable frequency creates the solar systems, galaxies, and universes.
The movement of these seven rays in spiraling circles, or cycles I should say, draws all being into and out of manifestation and colours and saturates it with their own individual qualities and attributes. This is as true for a grain of sand as for a man or a solar system. Each is the expression of a life. As far as this solar system is concerned, these seven energies are the expression of seven great lives embodied by seven stars in the constellation of the Great Bear. In our system, one of these rays, the second ray, is focused. The other rays are therefore sub-rays of this basic ray. The manipulation by our solar logos of these subdivisions creates every variation of life within his system.
So complex is the subject of the rays, so pervasive and all-embracing is their influence, that it will only be possible in this article to skim the surface of their actions and to show something of their relevance to our lives and relationships. The aim will be to demonstrate the value of knowing the qualities of the rays governing ourselves and our nations, and in this way to stimulate the reader to enter into a deeper study of these forces which, on every plane, condition our nature and make us what we are. The rays are particular types of energy, the emphasis being on the quality which that energy demonstrates rather than on the form which it creates. To say that a man or a nation or a planet is on the first or second ray is to say that they are colored by and express the quality of that ray. There are therefore seven ray types of men, and the idea of the septenate is to be found at many levels and in many branches of our lives. The seven suns of a seven sun, the seven sacred planets. Seven is a magic number, as Dylan Thomas puts it, or rather, seven is a number in magic.
There are three primary rays, or rays of aspect, and four secondary rays of attribute. They have many names describing their many qualities and actions, but are usually enumerated as follows. The rays of aspect, the first ray of power, will, or purpose, the second ray of love, wisdom, the third ray of active, creative intelligence, and the rays of attribute, and that's the fourth ray of harmony through conflict or beauty or art, the fifth ray of concrete science or knowledge, the sixth ray of abstract idealism or devotion, and the seventh ray of ceremonial order or magic, ritual or organization. Cyclically, according to the plan of the Logos, the rays come into manifestation, producing through their influence the succession of civilizations and cultures which mark and measure the evolution of the races. The three major planetary centers, Shambhala, Hierarchy, and Humanity, are respectively the exponents of the three major rays of aspect, will, love, wisdom, and active intelligence.
Every human being finds himself on one or other of these seven energies, and all of us are governed basically by five ray forces. The ray of the soul, which remains the same for countless eons. The personality ray, which varies from life to life until all the qualities are developed. The ray governing the mental body, that governing the astral emotional equipment, and the ray of the physical body, including the brain. These all vary cyclically. Each ray works primarily through one center, or chakra, and together they determine the physical structure and appearance, the astral emotional nature, and the quality of the mental unit. They predispose us to certain attitudes of mind and certain strengths and weaknesses, the virtues and the vices of the rays. They give us our particular personality, color, and general tone on the physical plane.
For the greater part of our evolutionary experience on this earth, the rays of the personality will govern our expression. But when we are two-thirds of the way along this path, the soul ray begins to dominate and be expressed. Man, know thyself, said the ancient Greeks. Man, know thy rays, says the esotericist. A knowledge of one's rays provides one with an insight into one's strengths and limitations, one's line of least resistance in this life, and also an understanding of the bridges and the barriers between oneself and others, erected by our individual ray structure. Those on similar rays tend to see things from the same point of view, to have the same approach to life, while those on disparate rays find it difficult to come to an understanding of each other's attitudes and meaning.
It will be obvious how this factor conditions the quality of married life. It affects, too, the successes or failures of the meetings of leaders of nations, especially when it is realized that each nation, too, is governed by two rays. The higher soul ray expressing the highest ideals of the nation, and the lower personality ray governing the people's selfish national desires. To view history from an understanding of the rays governing the nations and races is to see it in a new light. It becomes obvious why certain nations are allies while others have little in common and are traditionally hostile to each other. It becomes fascinatingly clear why particular ideas, movements, and religions flourish at one period and fall into decay at another. Why some countries emerge for a time and become dominant influences in the world, while others lie fallow, as it were, awaiting their time of awakening through the stimulus of an incoming ray.
A knowledge of the ray structure of some of the great individuals who have created our culture and civilization enables us to see how their rays made them what they were, conditioned their actions and qualities, and shaped their destinies. The science of psychology is in its infancy. It seeks to understand the workings of the human psyche, and in psychotherapy it seeks to alleviate the symptoms of stress and disorder. But until an understanding is reached of man as a soul and incarnation governed by certain ray influences, much will remain obscure. It is the soul which determines the rays, and therefore the influences and limiting factors, of the personality and its vehicles. The new psychology, today esoteric, will begin from that premise.
Behind the discord of the present troubled times and two great energies, or stand two great energies, The seventh ray of ceremonial order or ritual is coming into manifestation since 1675. The sixth ray of abstract idealism or devotion is gradually passing out since 1625. Our present problem is the result of the fact that these two highly potent energies are functioning simultaneously and in roughly equal potency, so that their effects are balanced. Neither dominates. In consequence, the world is divided politically, economically, religiously, and socially into two main groups, and these groups are in confrontation throughout the world. On the one hand, there is the group exponents of the sixth ray approach who, from love of the old forms, are holding on to the outworn structures, fighting a last-ditch stand for their preservation. This group forms the conservative and reactionary forces in all fields throughout the world. And the other group, the progressive forces, are those who are able to respond to the new incoming energies, who sense the need for new forms through which the new age civilization can manifest. The most impatient would sweep everything away, the good as well as the bad, and need the restraining hand of hierarchy to produce ordered change.
Since long before the Christian era, the sixth ray has waxed in strength. Christianity is a result of its influence, and although it is now on the wane, its qualities saturate and colour all our structures and institutions, all our ways of thinking, feeling and relating. The characteristic quality of this sixth ray is devotion to the ideal, often a fanatical adherence to the ideal at the expense of all others. This ideal can, of course, be expressed on every level, from the most basic selfish desire to make a million to an altruistic devotion to a cause or an abstract vision of sacrifice. It is for this reason that the crucifixion has been the outstanding symbol of Christianity. The sacrifice of Jesus has been seen as the vicarious atonement for our sins. The sixth ray energy has produced, as its culminating type of aspirant, the mystic. The history of the last 2,000 years, in religious terms, is the history of the growth of mysticism, both in the East and in the West. The great religious figures and saints of Europe have invariably been mystics, while the same abstract approach to God has characterized the teachers and adherents of Islam, the Sufis, the Buddhists, and the Jains. The fanatical adherence to and militant advocacy of their own ideal has, of course, led to the long succession of religious wars which continue to this day.
This same sixth ray influence has been responsible not only for sectarianism but for nationalism and patriotism, dogmatic, doctrinal exclusiveness, narrowness of view in science and philosophical schools of thought. In short, it has stimulated individualistic and separative tendencies in humanity. At the same time, it has presented an abstract ideals, the ideas of love and brotherhood, of justice and freedom. These ideals are now firmly fixed in the minds and hearts of aspiring humanity, and need but the influence of the incoming seventh ray of ceremonial order to bring them into manifestation on the physical plane. As the rays move cyclically into manifestation, there are never more than four, and therefore never more than four types of men powerfully present at one time. They sweep into incarnation those souls along their own line of force. This process is especially marked at the end of one age and the beginning of another. During the Piscean Age, now ending, the sixth ray brought in millions of sixth ray souls through whom it could express its purpose and quality. With the waning of its influence, the bulk of sixth ray souls will gradually be withdrawn from manifestation, their places to be taken by souls of the seventh ray, which will dominate during the Aquarian Age of 2,500 years.
The main problem for the sixth ray exponent has been that he cannot externalize his ideal. His highest ideals remain abstractions. He cannot bring them down lower than the plane on which he has focused, the astral plane, the plane of the emotions. Under the divine plan, each ray prepares the way for its successor. The seventh ray relates spirit to matter, thus synthesizing these opposites. It will, through its exponents, bring into expression, as a physical plane reality, the ideals and visions of the previous cycles. As the sixth ray fostered separatism and exclusiveness, so will the seventh ray bring about fusion and blended oneness. As the sixth ray stimulated the growth of individuality, so will the seventh promote the group spirit and consciousness. It is an intensely practical ray. Its exponents have their feet on the ground and recognize the need for ordered rhythm and ritualistic work. As the sixth ray produced the mystic, the seventh will produce, and is producing, the magician, the worker in white magic. What are the marvels of our contemporary science but magical applications of certain laws? This is the magic of today at a higher turn of the spiral than that of later Atlantean times when the emphasis was on the black side. The seventh ray was the dominant influence too in that far-off time.
These two energies, though dominant, are not the only forces playing on through humanity and through all the kingdoms. Rays 2, 3, 5, and 7 are in incarnation, openly manifesting. Ray 4, that of harmony through conflict, is always subjectively influential where humanity is concerned. The conflict which it engenders make for rapid growth, but will not come until later this century. This time the harmony aspect will be uppermost. Its influence will provide the stimulus for the unfoldment of the intuition and for art of all kinds, including for the masses everywhere, the art of living. The first ray of will or power is not in incarnation, but nevertheless the potency of its destructive aspect has been mostly powerfully expressed through the leaders of Nazi Germany, the majority of whom were first ray exponents, together with others in Italy and Japan. This is the energy of the Antichrist, about which there is so much misunderstanding. It is the destructive aspect of the first ray which destroys the old, outworn forms of a dying civilization to prepare the way for the building forces of the Christ aspect. It has done its destructive work, which we shall find will in due course benefit the plan.
We have time for an excerpt from an article by Benjamin Creme's master titled Magic, Black and White. For the master, magic consists of the organization of all necessary aspects for the enhancement of consciousness and that of, and thus of evolution. For them, the form is but a means whereby life finds expression and not of itself a principle or of major importance. For this reason, they watch with concern the application of a purely materialistic way of life in the experiments now being conducted in hospitals and laboratories around the world. Human individuality is sacred, and all perfectionment proceeds through the laws of evolution and karma. No two human beings are, or ever can be, alike. Yet soon, evidence will be forthcoming that the perfect human being is now achievable by genetic engineering techniques. Here, indeed, is a misuse of man's divine powers. To see man as a plant or a strain of corn open to manipulative techniques of perfectionment is to ignore man's innate divinity and the spiritual basis of life. Sadly, even as it dawns, the new and life-enhancing knowledge is being corruptly applied, not necessarily for monetary gain, but out of a mistaken concept of the meaning and purpose of life. Soon steps must be taken to slow the progress of this materialistic science, to better oversee the directions in which ambitious minds are moving, and to safeguard the future generations a science based on life and not alone on form. That was from June 1990.
Well, that's all we have for you today. I hope you enjoyed that, and hope you found something interesting for yourself. If you want more information, you can go to share-international.org or email sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you and God bless.